Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Hope you're having a great week. Hope you're feeling good and loving life and enjoying your Thursday. Man, today's episode, a lot of fun. This is somebody who I've known for a while. She grew up in Spokane, Washington. It's about 5 hours east of Seattle. Lived in Seattle for a while, doing stand-up, getting her chops. And then made the big move to L.A., and she is doing very well for herself. She got to quit her day job because she had Jim Norton on her podcast, and he took her on tour, and now she's doing that. She's making moves, man. She's doing what you got to do down here. You make the move, you get active, and you put yourself in a position to get some of that good luck that we all need, and she's taking advantage. She comes from a foosball family, which is nuts. She shares one of the greatest stories I think I've ever heard from a human being that I think we saved to the end. I'm talking about Kelsey Cook, baby. Not Kelsey Cook, baby. Kelsey Cook. I added the baby because I was excited to say her name. Kelsey Cook. Follow her on Twitter, at Kelsey Cook. Look up her podcast, Cooked, on iTunes, which Brad and I have both been on. And now she's finally on About Last Night, which she was pumped about. She said we're her favorite podcast, and I believe her, because she's sweet, and she doesn't have, she doesn't seem like she'd be a good liar. I don't know what that means, but she's very genuine, is what I'm trying to say. Either way, she came on, she crushed, a lot of laughs. We went 90 minutes on this one, and you know when we do that, it's a goodie. So enjoy this episode. Follow her on Twitter at Kelsey Cooked, the podcast Cooked on iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. The podcast is at ALN Podcast on Twitter, at Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. Tour dates this weekend, Brad, tonight through Saturday. Brad is headlining the Brea Improv. That's a hometown weekend, baby. Brea Improv tonight through Saturday. Get your tickets at improv.com. Of course, Brea, that's where Brad and I had that glorious weekend, I think 3-4 years ago, where he did the Gangnam Style dance that I taped and put on YouTube. If you still have not seen that, by the way, take a moment right now and YouTube Midget Dances Gangnam Style. No, Dwarf Dances Gangnam Style. It'll blow your mind. It's the first time I saw Brad dance ever in our friendship. And as you can hear, my drunken stony laugh was very impressed. So go see Brad this weekend, tonight through Saturday, Brea Improv. Tickets at improv.com. I'm in San Diego, a little bit past Brea, at the American Comedy Company tomorrow, June 3rd through Sunday, June 5th. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. American Comedy Company, one of my favorite clubs, downtown San Diego, the Gas Lamp District. I'm bringing Johnny LaQuasto and Avery Pearson. Quincy Jones could not make it. He's doing the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, but Quincy will make his way out with me again. Tickets at adamraytv.com. Tomorrow through Sunday, American Comedy Company, San Diego. Come see me. And then next weekend, I'll be in Tennessee at Bonnaroo. I'm doing Bonnaroo, man, in Tennessee. If you live anywhere near there, come. I'm doing shows with my boy Adam Devine. I'm probably going to stock Pearl Jam. It's going to be a blast. I think just Bonnaroo.com for those tickets. And Brad's in China next week. I would tell you where to go for tickets, but holy shit. Just maybe check his Twitter. He'll be posting. Hopefully he doesn't get kidnapped. I told him to bring the Funky Duck just to get a shot of him Funky Ducking through downtown China, but I don't know if that's illegal. I don't know the rules. Separation Anxiety is done for this season. Thank you so much for watching. Your guys' support and tweets were amazing. Appreciate all the love. We'll find out if we get another season soon. Fingers crossed. A lot of great episodes coming up. Holy shit. Interviewed Paul Feig today for Ghostbusters, and that was unbelievable. I mean, it was just great. Paul's the man. Gave us a lot of just insider shit about the movie. It was awesome. And that'll be out soon. Of course, all the merch, ALN merch, is at estoymerchandise.com, estoymerchandise.com, for your hats, shirts, mugs, posters. Buy them. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them. You can have a chance to be fan of the week and win some more free ALN merch. Man, I think that's about it. Oh, we have new promo pics coming. Promo pics that are also going to be posters that our girl Nicole Bisek took. And they're going to blow your mind. Going to post them next week to kind of get the palette wet for Brad and Adam pictures. She's a creative motherfucker. These pictures are unreal, and we're going to make posters and shirts out of them. And I can't imagine you guys aren't going to want to buy them because they're dope. They're the dopest pictures I think we've ever taken. So look out for those in the next few weeks. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, that's all the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, the hilarious Kelsey Cook.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I mean, he's got, I think it's mostly like a girl thing, like girls have, girls are the ones that have most of that decor-y shit, you
yeah.
know? So, I think he's happy for me to just kind of domesticate the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I think,
By the way, that would be a great show on, like, one of those design networks, like, domesticate the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Where they just go into bachelor apartments.
Why so, like, aggressive in the title, though? Like, clearly you have done some things wrong if you're on this show.
I don't know. I just think that's a stance for a stance of contention for so many couples where,
right.
like, the girl just wants, it's like, okay, one 80s cartoon poster. One. Yeah. One.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
DuckTales. It's Ninja Turtles. You have to pick. You're like, but I like them both. And then I got Sonic the Hedgehog.
You got Tailspin.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay, so there's some compromise involved.
Yeah.
Maybe call the show Compromise.
Oh, I mean.
I think I like.
I
domesticate
yeah.
the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fuck out of you.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I didn't want to be involved with this show anyway. So, yeah.
Kelsey
this is
Cook.
A Brad and I thing.
Yeah. So. This is going to be a.
Respect our wishes.
This is going to be a BK presentation. Brad
BK
Kelsey.
BK production.
Yeah. BK production.
Good luck not getting sued by Burger King with that.
I mean.
Because the BK, you know.
It's so funny. You thought.
Acronym has already been taken.
You thought Burger King. I thought British Knights. Because we were like going through like
wow.
90s TV shows.
We are
so
fucking
I'm like,
adorable.
Yeah, so I was like going back to like, oh man, British Knights is going to be mad. And I'm like, ah, is that even a company anymore?
Oh my God.
Are they still around? Did they go the way of the LA gear?
What shoes did you rock as a kid?
Well, I mean, I definitely
just
had
straight
some,
up Velcros?
I for sure had some Velcros.
Yeah.
I had some light ups from Payless Shoe Source.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did we not all? I think everybody had some.
Did it feel good to pay less?
I mean,
well,
that,
frankly, it was my parents' money, so I didn't really give a shit.
You were just spending it willy-nilly.
Wildly.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, My Little Pony on the shoes, why not? I'm assuming My Little Pony, that was, like, the only girl's cartoon
no,
I could think of.
I'm sure.
You know what I,
sure
you,
that
speaking
happened.
Of My Little Pony, I just have to say this because I, somehow, when I was in Boston about 3 weeks ago doing shows, I was
Humble
at the bar. What's that?
Humble brag.
Hey, man,
humble
trying to get...
Brag.
Sometimes the geographic location of where the story takes place adds to it.
I understand.
Sure.
Well, see, now I've lost my train of thought. And I guess this is the first time I've been derailed from a My Little Pony story from someone I respect. All right, so I'm at the bar post-show,
yeah.
and it's late,
okay.
and they left the bar open for us. So
yeah.
the point is, I was very drunk, and somehow My Little Pony came about. And I
like
literally
it does in every drunk conversation.
I don't know how it came up, but it did.
Yeah.
And I literally said to Avery Pearson, I go, My Little Pony is the Seabiscuit for lesbians. And then he just starts laughing, and I go, what does that mean? And he goes, you said it, man.
Yeah.
And I go, I don't know why that came out, but it sounded like very, like
oh
I meant
God.
It when I said it.
Yeah, it was a very clear thought, like, no, it is.
Because
yeah.
if you break that down, none of that, like there's no specific horse for non-lesbian, like
yeah, there's the
no.
like then what's the sea biscuit for straight people?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that
well, that's for you
biscuit?
To figure out. See,
I don't know.
Welcome back to Adam Ray's weird icebreaker.
I feel like I smell some new merch with that line.
Wow,
that people who are like just took yeah. some mushrooms.
You have a lot
it.
Of merch. Do you see stuff like? Are you like
yeah.
constantly now conditioned to like hearing things you say or that you see and going
merch.
Shirt, make money off that saying.
Just see dollar signs. I actually did just drop off. I was at the post office before I came
yeah.
here. mailing out some Midnight Labia t-shirts and air fresheners to people.
I mean,
God, the fucking looks I've gotten at the post office and at the UPS store. It's just...
Yeah, but you got to do it. And
so
it's like,
full of shame.
You make some good cash from it, right? It helps?
Yeah, it's insane as a feature how much that can kind of like carry you through a tour.
Oh,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
And
because Norton takes care of you and you get paid.
He takes great care of me and get paid well, but it's...
But it's still... there is a vast difference between... feature and headliner money.
Definitely.
So if you can do stuff like that to add on to the whole, now you're like, oh, not only am I already in the plus, but now I'm like going home with some,
definitely.
I can put some money away.
Definitely. Big difference between just doing
breaking
your feature
even.
Work
yeah.
or
yeah.
feature and adding
yeah.
the merch
yeah.
money. So.
Where does Midnight Labia come from?
It's
Saturday morning cartoons in Ukraine.
Welcome back to Midnight Labia.
Oh my God, I'll never say that and not think about that now.
Ukrainian cartoon.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, it's Midnight Labia.
Yes.
It's a popular children's character.
Yes.
Yes, they do. It's something for the little girls to think about.
What kind of adventures does she go on?
Well, I mean, it's sort of like how you guys have Tooth Fairy. The little girls, they go to sleep and they think, maybe tonight the Midnight Labia will visit me. And then, first period.
I was just gonna say it's like the first time you lose a tooth, they're like the first time you lose a period.
Yeah.
Labia, she
by the way,
you.
First period Mazel Tov, and there's your catchphrase for the cartoon.
Oh my God.
So that came from
it's a joke I do about I don't know, basically going down on people.
Yeah.
You know? You guys going down on us going down on you, and how it's
specifically us.
You mentioned Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
We get a podcast
ass.
Plug.
Let me tell you something. When I've gone down on Brad Williams,
I mean, I don't know if that's so much Midnight Labia, but
two words come to mind: Midnight Labia.
Midnight Labia, for sure.
But just how like that, like we all do our best, but that there's never gonna be like a car air freshener. Made.
Oh, you're talking about as
fragrance.
Far as cleanliness down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know. I think even at their best for everybody, it's still like it's fine.
Yeah.
But people don't really want that scent.
Nobody ever comes
car.
Up. Yeah. How often have people been complimented on their area post?
Yeah, like
cunnilingus.
They just kind of pop their head up and like, hey, you know, complete side note. Love what you're doing down.
Actually,
here.
I feel like I have maybe complimented somebody, and maybe that's because you know you're. It's so you're comparing it to a previous
right.
encounter.
Right. On right? the spectrum. I mean, that's part of the joke I tell too, is that like I'm sure all of you dudes have mm-hmm. had a couple experiences where, you know, you've gone
I'm
down
thinking
there.
Of one right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I will never forget it.
Exactly. That's
sure.
what I mean. And so I'm always like, let me fucking clean that.
That is, and
man.
That's a funny take on it too. That it will never be an air freshener because.
Yeah.
What are the main air freshener smells, by the way?
Pine, new car, and vanilla, maybe like
yeah,
yeah. That's about it.
But there's
nothing,
never been
never been a labia
you know,
one.
Beth's dirty snatch.
Well, you can't, Beth's dirty snatch.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I did go to a truck
you can
stop
in
Albuquerque.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
can,
yeah. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and yeah you've got Midnight Labia, and then all over your Twitter, I see baloney balls.
Baloney balls.
What the hell is baloney balls? And and Oscar Mayer, get on this. What the hell?
Sounds like something you win when you go to like a Funplex or Funtasia and you win like 200 tickets.
Yeah. You can go with some
baloney
balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because 200 tickets, by the way, doesn't get you shit. Like you need 15,000 to even get a laminated photo of Montel Jordan hugging Magic Johnson.
Sure.
Which signed
for
by
sure.
maybe them, but it's like a stamp signature.
Yeah.
No. So, or one of those plastic eagles that you balance the beak on your finger. You remember that shit?
I do remember that.
That was a staple of arcade ticket.
Did you go to Funtasia or Funplex in Seattle? No, wait, Spokane. So
Spokane. There was like Wonderland golf course and
okay.
just all sorts of methy Spokane institutions.
I don't think any business wants to be described as methy.
Well,
you know, like, oh man.
Well, then stop being methy.
Have you been to that Kinko's? So methy. What?
Are there Kinko's that aren't methy, by the way?
You know what?
Great,
I mean, depending on the hours, I don't know if... I don't think you've ever been to a Kinko's after 8 p.m.
No, if you're at a Kinko's past 11, you're a college student or a rapist making flyers with not your face and trying to like put them around town being like, somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
So bologna balls came from...
That's a different part in the same joke about basically then switching it to like it's never fun for us necessarily going down on you guys either. Usually it's tolerable, mm-hmm. but there's been a lot of times where we like get down there and are like, you're like hiding a bologna sandwich below the ball. Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, there can get some.
Yeah. Just like. Like old middle school locker type of situations. Like there's things festering.
Where like you threw a sandwich like, back there in September. And then, and then in June you're like, wait, that's where that was?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Clean that out. So anyway, I had the Midnight Labia merch and I realized there should be something that has like a male body part on it too. So then I started making the bologna balls.
Sure. And I think girls... I think girls get the bad rap. I think the stereotype... is that it's only women like that smell
pussies,
down there.
Right.
Yeah. But it's like, guys, that...
Dirty dick.
Yeah, dirty
there's
dick.
There's some stank dick out there.
Stank dick open for dirty pussy, I think in 2006.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
That was on the Korn Family Values Tour. I totally remember that.
Of course you do.
Yeah,
By the way, the phone calls that I have to make, it's a company in Florida that makes the actual air fresheners because I sell shirts and I sell... air fresheners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the first time I had to make this phone call, it's this like sweet kind of family run business.
Hello.
This guy, I mean, he sounds like he's maybe in his 50s or 60s.
All right, maybe not
and
that.
And he's just
voice,
like, hello.
Hello.
Sure. Hi.
Sure.
How are you?
God, we're so removed.
What do you want to, what smell are you looking for?
They're expecting like real sweet,
like cherry, pina colada.
Yeah, it's
like
me.
That.
It's this voice of a normal girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, and what would you like the air fresheners to say? And I was like, can you put Midnight Labia on one? And he's like,
Midnight Raspberries?
Yeah.
What?
And he's like, I'm sorry, what did you say? And I was like, Midnight Labia? I'm so sorry.
Can you spell that out for me, please?
And then to follow up, he's like, okay, and then what did you want the other design? And I'm like, bologna balls. Like, both things are so equally
right.
fucking awful to have an old man make on your air fryer.
Now,
but that's.
Do they actually smell?
Yeah, no, but they smell like vanilla. One smells like vanilla and one smells like fresh linen. They
okay, so it's just
like
the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't come with the scent. That's...
Yeah. So it wasn't like a Harry Potter jelly bean kind of situation where the vomit jelly bean tastes like fucking vomit jelly bean.
Yeah, no. I mean, okay. I feel like...
This nerd moment has been brought to you by an adult man. What?
By
Harry Potter jelly bean.
Virgins.
What?
You didn't know about
Harry
Potter?
I've seen the first Harry Potter. I don't know.
Okay,
is that
Harry Potter?
A lot of I'm a big fanatic.
Yeah,
are you?
So
have you read all the books like multiple times?
Yeah, I've read the last one a few times.
I want to get into them because I hear they are fun and adventurous, and I like both those things.
Yeah, I mean, Harry Potter released these jelly beans, but none of the flavors were good. They were vomit. They were like sawdust.
Mucus. There's a
mucus.
Snot one. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, well, what does that taste like? And then you pop it in your mouth, you're like, like that's what
it's
that
a real
tastes
thing.
Like.
What?
Yeah.
Whose call was that?
Harry's, I guess.
Yeah. There's another jelly bean manufacturer out there that has it by color where it's like, here's the green. It can either be green apple or boogers. And so, like, you do, like, challenges with your friends. I've seen people do it on YouTube where it's like,
it's basically Russian roulette.
Yeah.
With
your turn.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so you grew up in Spokane.
Yeah.
And that's, for people who don't know, that's about 5 hours from Seattle?
Yeah, about 4 hours east, yeah.
4 hours east. And so, what, I mean, you mentioned methy lifestyles, but, you performed a lot out there, and you went out with me when we went to the theater out there, and it seemed like that was a big deal for them, because now there is a comedy club, but, I mean, for when you're growing up there, how do you... get any sort of comedy in your life, because obviously you can see it on TV and you're getting influenced by that, but I mean, what live shows would you see?
I mean, Spokane is not a cultured place.
How would you describe Spokane to people who've never been?
Oh God.
Biased and unbiased.
Because
you do love it.
I love it. It will always be my hometown. I think it's a great place to grow up, but you can definitely find your fair share of like Breaking Bad type of areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think I used to say this in my act because I'm pretty sure I heard that it was like the top city for meth in the country for a while.
What?
Like it had the most meth.
So this isn't even a joke now. It's
it's real.
And were people like proud of that or were they like discouraged?
They're two tooth book, yeah.
We found one of them. Have you seen, so you saw meth heads growing up? Like you got
Yeah, I mean, I didn't grow up right around that, but...
But they would make their way to town.
Through. Yeah, like, you can just drive through a lot of areas that you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, that's, like, a meth house for sure.
Jesus.
But, I didn't see a lot of, like, live shows or anything like that growing up.
More, like, plays and stuff.
I don't think so. Yeah. I can't really remember, but... So my parents are weird, though, and that's, I think, why I got into comedy, because they were always doing weird kind of performance stuff.
Like what?
Yeah, I read your bio. There's no way this is true. It says your father was an international yo-yo champion and a pro foosball player. That just can't...
Yeah, no, that's for real.
Wait, I knew the foosball. I didn't know yo-yo.
No, my dad's like straight up... Clown style.
Wait, was he like one of the guys that would tour elementary schools and do
for sure.
What?
The yo-yo tours, yeah.
I lost my shit when those guys showed up.
Right? I mean, they were like the coolest.
Because they gave you yo-yos and you got to try, and immediately you were like, I'm going to be as good as you are because it's not that tough. And then you do walk the dog and you fucking knock some kid in the face and you're sent to the principal's office. You're like, I was trying to walk the dog. He's like, what does that mean? You're
right.
Like, some guy came in with yo-yos. He's like, we didn't approve that. So
who is this guy?
It sounds like all slang for drugs. Like
yo-yo code for stank dick.
Yeah, I go to the corner and get myself some yo-yos.
Yeah, so my parents met playing professional foosball. That's how they met. They were both doing like the pro foosball circuit.
Which is what? Just going to a Chili's on a Wednesday and you're like, all right.
How dare you?
Here we are.
This is a romantic story of love and attraction.
Squashing my conception.
We met over Riblets.
Not a bad way to meet.
Yeah. Hey,
there are worse ways.
Yeah, delicious.
Where do you find a foosball?
A pro foosball league.
So I think the foosball boom really started in like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Because it was mostly just pool tables and darts so far in bars. And then they started bringing foosball tables in.
Big deal, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about, everything has gone through, like when music changed or sports, like, you know, the CBA went to the NBA. It's like that's. Now there's like bars have always been around, so now when you have these games being introduced and then a new one shows up, like that's the talk of the town.
Yeah, it's kind of a big thing. So that happened when my mom was in college and she started to get really into it. Then she got hired by a foosball production company, like a newspaper, like a Foos News thing. And then tours started to happen where they're like, they put out all this money. It was a lot of money back in the day where there were just tournaments across the country. And so players would go and put entry fee money in and compete and try and win money. And it just grew and grew. And so, I mean, that's how my parents met, was at one of those tournaments. And then they taught my brother and I how to play. And then we all compete now.
That's amazing that they, okay, so they met through, I mean, but what's like a pickup line in a foosball? do they get that in depth with you about
want this rod in your snatch, babe?
But I mean, like, that's...
Wow, you scored with your goalie. Yeah. I'd like to score on your goalie tonight.
Yeah. Jesus.
Get it in that hole. Yeah, there's a lot of snatch going on in this episode. I'm not mad at it.
Okay,
but, like,
so that's...
Is pro foosball, is it like bowling where it's, like, everyone plays for themselves? Or is it like the Seattle... I don't know what a foosball
team... The pride of Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know what a Seattle team name would be. For foosballers.
Well, I know. We don't have good teams.
Yeah, but, like, is it everyone's individual or their teams?
Pretty much
or?
Individual. I mean, there's single events and there's double events. So there's women's doubles. There's mixed doubles where a guy has to play with a girl.
Right.
Open doubles, which is the main doubles event, and open singles where it's, like, anybody of any ranking can compete.
Wow. So then, like, man, I feel like I've missed my calling in life. I was born in the wrong era.
I feel like... Like, I get pissed that I didn't take it more seriously when I was growing up because I have the genetic, like, it's in my blood to have become the best in the world.
You would be like, if LeBron James had a kid with Lisa Leslie, you're that.
I'm that for foosball.
Of foosball.
And I didn't capitalize.
I feel like you're wasting your life.
What am I even doing here right now? What the fuck?
I mean,
is it still going on?
Yeah. It's a big thing. It's a big thing. The next tournament.
Is it?
Is it?
Yes.
I haven't heard of it.
There's a lot of people in the world. There's a lot of things to do.
I mean,
where does the World Series of Foosball happen?
One of the big tournaments is in Vegas every year. It's in,
of course it's in Vegas.
You just went to that, right?
Mm-hmm. That was in March. Yeah, that's called the Hall of Fame. Foosball. My mom's in the Foosball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, talk about that. Aren't they like in record books and shit?
Yeah, my mom.
That sounds like a weird insult where it's like your mom's in the Foosball Hall of Fame. Like, but it's not. It's real for you.
It's fucking real, yeah. If you look on Amazon, I talk about this in my act now too, that you can find my mom's foosball books on Amazon. She's the author of the World Table Soccer Almanac.
What?
And it has a foreword by Woody motherfucking Harrelson.
What?
So.
Because he's a big foos guy.
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah.
That's unreal.
Big foos enthusiast.
When you grow up with that as your what your parents do, is it... do you get teased for it, or is it like something that you're proud of initially? Or your parents, you looked up to them. They had, you were like, you guys are so cool. So it never became a thing of like, oh God, like embarrassed. Like your dad going to school is doing the yo-yo thing. Like that could be, you could get to a certain age where you're like, God, that's so fucking stupid. Like that, right? But you didn't.
Right. Yeah. I think I was young enough when he was still doing most of that, that it was cool. Like it was your dad that was the foos or the awesome. Yo-yo guy. You know, yeah. Everybody thought that was so cool. But I think I kind of tapered off interest in, I don't know, maybe middle school. I didn't do foosball as much because I was worried that I'd be a super nerd if I was playing foosball.
Is your mom Kathy Brainerd?
She is. Yeah.
Wow. I'm looking at it right now. World Table Soccer Almanac.
Yeah.
You can get it in hardcover or paperback. Hardcover, by the way, $75.
I know, right? It's huge. It's like an encyclopedia. It's huge.
That's...
I know, Mama Brainerd, trying to rake in that money.
Is foosball big overseas? Like,
mm-hmm. Yes, very, very big in certain countries over there. They have the World Cup that's in France every year. And
you got to go.
My mom and my brother have competed because my mom competed in the senior division and my brother competed in the youth. But I fall like between all of that shit.
So. Can I be honest? What would be great for an amazing documentary is you get a little crew, guerrilla style, and go, you get some shows booked overseas.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You play here. You kind of give a little like backstory to foosball. I don't know if there are documentaries out there about it.
There's some that are being made right now. I'm going to try and do something with it.
But I mean, like an ESPN 30 for 30 on this.
For sure. Well, but also like just you, how it's a part of, I think it would be very interesting to hear like how it was a big part of your family and you're growing up. And then like the family, like all of you guys, like them bringing you guys into it is really sweet and interesting.
Yeah.
And then for you guys to actually then get good at it and for them to have these records. And then, I mean, shit, you get Woody to like, you know, talk about foosball at some point. That legitimizes it. And then you go overseas and you compete in these like tourneys.
Yeah.
And then do comedy out there. And I don't know.
I just imagine like some really arrogant French guy like, oh, you think you're so good at foosball? French, we invented foosball. We have great cuisine and we have foosball. That's what we have. Is this a good French accent? I do not know.
Is that the villain from Ratatouille?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Yeah, I do like hustling people. Like that's a fun thing for me to do on the road with comedy.
That's amazing.
If there's a bar like by the club. I did that at Cobb's in San Francisco.
That's amazing. Sure. Please tell.
Jim and I were there in December, I think, and I tell the foosball bit on stage, and then there's always like a group of like super drunk frat guys who are like, dude, I fucking will beat you. Like, you don't. Yeah. We have a table in the frat. I'm good.
Jesus, that's yeah.
Like,
yeah. Let me come back to the frat by myself.
Yeah,
what a great idea. You have a foosball table. Is it next to the fucking gangbang dungeon?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, look, it's next to the stack of ether rags. Perfect. Done.
Yeah.
Now I like how you said rape dungeon and I said gangbang dungeon. So clearly we grew up in different parts of the country.
We can both agree on a dungeon situation.
I don't know what's worse.
Spokane took it way more seriously.
What you know about dungeons?
Yeah, Seattle was more a collaborative effort.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't believe that we're talking about gangbangs is like teamwork.
Yeah. No, that's terrible. Yeah. Don't do it if you're listening. Don't do it.
Hey. No gangbangs.
Yeah.
But so like you hustle these guys.
Yeah. There's been those situations where like they know going into it that I play and they're still like, no, like, you know, I can beat you. Let's do it.
Such
and
dudes.
Fucking,
and then you cream them.
Yeah. I mean, I've played literally my whole life. Like, my parents would stand me on a stool so I could see the top of the table.
I know. I did
like,
that last week.
Yeah.
Hashtag school life.
Yeah. School life.
School life. What's up?
You guys don't know about that school life.
So you would, and what do you have, so you're really putting on an acting clinic too, I'm assuming, when you're like playing these guys. Because, I mean, you're like, oh, you guys are so good.
Yeah.
Like, what do you?
Yeah. I mean, if they see me during a show and then we play after, it's different because I've already told them. But there's been times, I think I said this on Ari Shaffir's podcast, but it was Idaho Laugh Fest in January and it was in Boise. And I walked into a bar and there was like this very just like young Mormonish couple. They were just so sweet. And they were like, excuse me, we're looking for another person to play foosball with us. And we were wondering, would you like to come play with us? And I was like, you know, I've never played before, but that just, I've always kind of wanted to try. And they're like, oh, great, come on over. And I immediately was like, oh, fuck. they're so nice. Like, I shouldn't do this right now. But I didn't put any money on the table.
Yeah.
But, like, the second that the ball was in play, I just kind of did some moves. And they're like, I think you've played before. And I was like, yeah, Mom, I'm sorry. And
my mom literally wrote the book on foosball.
Yeah. But it is fun if there's dudes around, because I know that nobody looks at me and thinks,
sure,
pro foosball player.
Right.
So it's fun to kind of like...
It'd be like if I was a dunk champion.
Yeah.
No one really sees me walking to the gym and go, wow, we better put a body on him. That's not happening. That's amazing to have that like obscure... So it's like, it's not the skill that anyone thinks anyone has. Like,
right.
Everyone just assumes that you play foosball like, oh, like maybe like once a month at max.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I have a foosball in my purse right now. Like, I have like handle wraps that I keep. I don't know why, but I just keep it with me
just in case. Just in case.
Wait, so when you play, is it like that scene in the movie The Wizard where like he pulls out the power glove and it's like the power glove, it's so bad. Like, you have like foosball gloves,
yes,
or something where you're Nike foos. Just do it.
Yeah, no, that's really funny you say that, because there are handle wraps, so it's the same thing that is on a tennis handle.
Yeah.
You can buy them at Big Five or whatever. So I wrap my handles with that, but some people use actual gloves, but they're just...
When I would know I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
When the other person pulls out the wraps.
A glove. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And like starts wrapping, like, hold on, it's not ready yet. Yeah. It starts wrapping.
That's
like,
an intimidation factor too, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So are there better places, like, so most bars, not... More bars are becoming privy to the foos game and starting to bring them in, or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're still kind of obscure to find.
Yeah.
You can find them in most places. There's one, I believe it's Pub 1742, something like that. It's in Los Feliz on Vermont, and that's where the weekly LA tournament is. So if you ever want to
go there?
Yeah, I try to go. I mean, it's hard with comedy at night most of the time, but when I can, I go.
So when you get to a city, will you Google foos and just kind of see what comes up? And
yeah. Oh, that's such a nerdy thing to say.
It's not,
yeah,
though. But I mean, it's...
You know what? Like, someone asked me the other day, like, well, what do you do besides comedy? And I thought to myself, like, I do this podcast.
Right.
I do comedy, and, like, occasionally I'll see my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, like, that's about it. Like,
right.
I don't have hobbies. So just to have that kind of hobby is awesome. And something that's available wherever you go. Like, there's always going to be a bar that has it in some way, shape, or form. And then I just can't wait for you to, like, just get ridiculously rich, and then you have like a foosball room in your house that has like it. Oh yeah, that's
you've thought about it. For
that's
sure.
The table.
Oh, for sure.
That's the table for the guests. That's the table for serious players.
That's what a you would have one like in the foyer or dining room, and you're like, play if you haven't played yet or you just want to have fun.
Yeah.
But if you want to come with me to the executive suite where the gold table is. With a silhouette of me and my family above the table.
Yeah, like how Jerry West is the logo of the NBA. Like, it's your family. Yeah.
And you can,
like,
only play on that table if you can recognize every silhouette.
Dude, yes. I make all of the men's faces Woody Harrelson's.
I mean, that's got to happen.
That should happen.
That's such an amazing, like, random skill. But it...
Yeah.
There's never a time when... Like, how does that has ever come up in conversation? Have you ever been on any first dates where it's like, whoa, tell me something interesting about yourself? You're like, best fucking foosball player I've ever seen, bro.
Yeah, I would bring that up immediately.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that probably has come up in like first date situations. I'm trying to think back to some first dates, but I'm sure that comes up. It's such a weird thing, especially if people talk, like, first date, you talk about your family.
Yeah,
and so that's my...
What does your dad do? Well, he kicks a ball into a goal. Oh, so he's a soccer player. Kind of.
Yeah.
He directs them.
Oh, he's a coach. Yes.
You could say that. Yeah. He definitely moves the players in the right positions.
Yeah.
His own. Oh, he owns a team. Okay. Wow.
Baller.
Wow. Jeez, you guys must be doing...
That's impressive.
Really well. Where does he play?
Yeah.
Where does he play at? What stadium?
All over.
He travels.
So he's a team that just... That travels. So what? But like, what city?
Oh, you know, pretty much wherever city he's in.
Whatever bar's open.
Yeah.
What?
Bar?
I just want to watch you guys do this for like another 40 minutes. Yeah, I have video on my phone of my dad yo-yoing, and I think of me playing foosball. I have like random weird little videos.
That's
because
amazing.
People don't believe that. You know,
isn't
I mean,
it funny?
You, even you, you were like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah.
There's no way this is real.
I don't, like, because, like, for those of you who don't know, when you read a comic's bio, the comic wrote the bio. Yeah. Just so you know that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I read bios and I'm like, okay, that's where someone clearly tried to be funny and and like failed or like and then I read like father was international yo-yo champion. I'm like, Kelsey, come on. You're better than this.
Bitch, please.
Yeah, like you're like like
what is this?
I've seen you. You're funny. You don't have to resort to these parlor tricks. And you're like, "Oh no, that's a thing."
That's my weird life.
Where when you your current boyfriend Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy, great comic. When you guys met, where did you guys meet, by the way?
We met at the Tacoma Comedy Underground.
Ooh.
Do you remember that place?
I never went to it, but it was a partner of the
Seattle
Underground.
Yeah.
I've only heard stories about this one.
Yeah, no, it
was it a shithole?
It was a dungeon.
Wow.
We'll just keep the dungeon fucking trend going. It was weird. It was underground. It was tiny, very low ceiling, just a weird, weird room. But Kane and I met there, and then I think it was like 6 months later we ended up dating, but one of our first dates, we went to a bar that had a foosball table.
Yeah.
My mom was in town. So,
whoa. You know, that's, wow.
Fucking Jedi Master. So emasculated to Kane. Oh,
if you
Christ.
Beat me, you may have my daughter's left bosom. What?
Only the left one, though. You can have the right one when you beat her father.
Oh, my God.
What?
My bosoms are designated by parents.
Well, because, like, you've had, like, it happens in movies a ton where, like, a guy comes over and the dad's, like, I don't know, whatever he's into, hunting, and he takes the boyfriend out on the trip. You're like, so instead of, like, shining a shotgun, your dad's just shining, like, a foosball rod. Like, just, this? Yeah, you know, I keep this around in case I might need to use it.
I won the 78 championship. This brother. So.
So you will put a pin in you and Kane, because the dating a comic thing I'm very interested in.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you've talked about it so much that you're like,
no,
over it.
I don't mind.
We'll find a new angle. But so no real culture or comedy like influences in Spokane. Unless a funny meth guy has like weird one-liners that oddly make sense.
He had a great 5 minutes that he thought was 6.5 hours.
Randall the meth head was my comedy hero.
Oh, God. You know what sucks is that is a great meth name.
Thank you.
And I know
I
a couple Randalls.
The props for that.
I know a couple of Randalls, and I'm like, it wouldn't surprise me if I – both of them I have lost contact with. But if I looked on Facebook and saw like a profile picture of like a tooth that they used to have – in their profile pic, I'd be like,
have you seen me?
Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. You're Randall.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So, where do you get the bug? You said your parents, but like, were there shows or were there comics or?
So, I went to Washington State University, Pullman, and.
Cougars. Tell people where that is, by the way.
So, that's in Pullman, Washington, which is in the middle of fucking nowhere. It's just it's a college in a wheat field that's like an hour outside of Spokane.
And I heard there's 25,000 people in Pullman, 20 go to the school.
Yeah, it's just, it's not reality. Like, you leave, everybody has such a hard time adjusting after they graduate because it's this culture shock because you were not in the real world for 4 years. Like, you were in this condensed, isolated area with like, only your peers.
You were like a college bubble boy or something like that.
Yeah.
That's where people party. That's where you were one of the top party schools.
Oh, my God. It was,
Because what else do you do?
Yeah, my liver's very sad now. But
but also a great school. I mean, like,
Great. I had a great time there.
You went there for what?
Broadcast production. Yeah. So, and that's, I mean, their college communication I think is like top four in the nation.
Nice.
Like they knew what they were doing there. I mean, there's other shit at WC. I was like, ooh, okay, not a lot going on in other departments. But
so if your brain surgeon's like, go Cougars, you're like, ah, fuck, going somewhere else. Sorry,
as
buddy.
You go under, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, I'm never waking up.
But I started to do a little bit of stuff with the improv troupe there. I started college thinking I wanted to be a math teacher. I thought I wanted to be a high school math teacher.
Yeah, math major degree? Or?
Yeah, so I started as a math major, and I got like 2 years into that, and I just hated my life. So
you would definitely be the most attractive math teacher on the history of math teachers. I'm thinking back to mine right now, and
I mean, you
were all struggling with some sort of issue they could not contain.
Yeah, you would walk in and be like, hey, you want to add the beds, subtract the clothes, divide the legs, now multiply?
Oh, shit.
Where the fuck
what
did
was
that come
that,
from?
Man?
And that was,
is that a ludicrous lyric?
Yeah,
add the beds, subtract the clothes, divide the blades, now multiply. Ooh.
Bam.
That's like the remix to What's Your Fantasy.
If you just dance to that at home, feel awful about yourself.
Hey, I don't feel awful. I just dance in front of you guys.
That was ludicrous, or we just got an insight into sixth grade Brad, who would rap that in the back of the class and get laughs.
Fuck yeah, I did.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
That was that was one of the jokes that went around, definitely went around my sixth and seventh grade. Just like, yeah, that's
pretty funny.
That was the best math pickup lines. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Add the beds, subtract the clothes, divide the legs, now multiply. Yep.
Would you, and I bet, you know, but seeing.
That's so funny.
I'm getting that as a tramp stamp tattoo.
Not a bad idea. You being like a comic at heart, though, I'm sure, like, if you had gone down that profession, you would have been like a fun, funny teacher.
Yeah, I would have. I mean, those were the teachers that made me want to become.
Yeah.
Because we all had a few that were really fucking cool and funny, and you wanted to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, I thought I wanted to do that. But I got to, like, Calculus 3, and my brain was leaking out of my head, and I fucking hated it. So,
what about it, though, at least got you interested? I mean,
into comedy or into math?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always liked math. I think I have kind of, I don't know, like a puzzle-making brain, logic.
Yeah.
I like putting things together. And some people have said that they can actually tell that in my comedy, that my comedy is very, like, structured. And it's not... I've always been super impressed by you because you are so able to go up and just... I feel like you improv and crowd work all the time.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I've become more comfortable with that. But, I mean, that's always just been, like, fucking mind-blowing when I'm watching you, because you're like, shit, you just can go right into it and keep on a stream for like 10 minutes, and it's really funny.
Right.
And that's, I mean, I prefer to like write everything out because I get scared.
Totally. And yeah. I think getting comfortable with crowd work is like you can attest to this, Brad. It's like, it's one of those like trial and error things. Like,
yeah,
there are so many times where I did it and it went terrible. And then you just finally, like, but then I was like, you know, just like anything, you're like, I don't want it to go that bad. So I need to, I want to do it again next time, but also like listening is such a big part of it, and then it's
definitely
just getting comfortable and trusting. But also, like, I think also my style, just making, I want things to seem conversational. So even if it seems improv, it's like just trying to keep it loose. But I mean, but on the flip side, it's like, you know, I respect great joke writers like you that are just so like, there's no fat on the jokes.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A great, like, whenever you can tell a girl that she's not fat, you're like, physically or in her joke writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Great compliment.
Oh my
God,
you guys.
God, my jokes are so skinny.
My jokes haven't eaten in weeks.
What?
What? Are you still talking about jokes? What?
Yeah. That's funny. Bulimic jokes. Name of my first album.
Wait, so who did you see growing up that you were like, that looks awesome? Like, before you got to...
I think Dane Cook was the first comic I mean, he was so big when I was in college. Mm-hmm. Like, all that audio came out, and I loved it.
College kids were freaking out. I mean, you can...
Yeah.
I was, I think, in a junior in college, I think, when that stuff was coming out. And I remember, like, it just was... Like, everybody listened to it and talked about it. And it was, like, such great word. Like, would you get together and, like, listen to it, or...?
Yeah, I think it was me and a few friends in college, and I just remember thinking, this is crazy that you can do this. And which I'm kind of, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people who have such better original people. They're like, oh, I used to watch Carlin and Pryor. And I feel like such a shitty millennial type to be like, I watched Dane Cook. And that was the first person I saw.
Yeah, but you know what? He sold out both Madison Square Garden, Boston Garden. Like, he was a big influence on a lot of people. A lot of people at that age group can quote the entire Harmful is Swallowed album, and they can talk about the Comedy Central Present special where he's in the tank top, he's doing the alien bit. Like,
also, it is generational. Yeah. It's like you come up and are influenced by where you were in the world, and it's like that. For me, he made comedy like real cool. Like Eddie Murphy, was the first I saw that was like really funny. And I like the voices and the act outs, but also he was just real cool, and he didn't seem so, you know, like Stephen Wright. If I had seen, I probably would have been like, oh, I don't want to do comedy because that seems boring. Like, he's just so stale and dry and like...
Yeah.
Right. So Dane like brought this new energy that was like, oh, I feel like I've got that crazy energy as a college kid, right?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, he was, I think, the first person I really saw and realized that you could do that. I saw him at Key Arena in Seattle.
Oh shit!
With my mom.
That's amazing. Oh, the Key Arena. I think they had a basketball team that played there one time.
Oh. Wow, Brad.
What?
I gotta be honest, man. There are a few things you can say that will make me cry and kill you
at the same time. Instant tears right now. Fucking instant tears.
I mean, make fun of my family all you want. Make fun of my lack of hoops team. I kill you.
I kill you.
But like, so when you saw him live, was that just like a moment where you're like, oh, like, yeah, fuck, like this can happen?
It was amazing.
Yeah, like,
it was.
You can do this.
Still one of the hardest I've ever laughed in my life is watching him. And Bob Kelly opened for him. He was fucking great. That was cool. So then when I left the math major, I started to do improv with my college troupe there a little bit, and then that group of people would do open mics once a month in the college cafeteria, let me tell you, if that's how you start out, it's all uphill from there, because that was like the fucking worst way.
But at least you did
it. Yeah.
Because you could have gotten intimidated and been like, oh, I don't want to do it there, that's scary, but you're like, oh, that's where it is, then I'll do that.
Was it during the day?
It was at night, but it was always one of those things that's like unannounced, like everybody's just trying to enjoy their meal, and then
it's
like
during people... Yeah. Okay, college cafeteria, that's right.
Yeah, people are just eating, like, just there.
Hey,
there's clinking
time
silverware.
For the open mic comedy show. What you got?
Yeah.
And then people just walk up, and was it mostly comedy, or like experimental, like, theater, readings, poetry?
No, I mean, it was people trying to do stand-up comedy, but, I mean, heavy emphasis on trying to do stand-up comedy.
Sure.
Myself included. I'm sure the early ones are just fucking, ugh.
Do you remember what you would talk about?
I think there was a bit about... like Thanksgiving dinner, and maybe I was trying to do impressions of, I don't know. I don't even want to think about it.
I mean,
I'll kill myself.
I don't know how you don't just start off with, anyone else's father a foosball champion? Yo-yo connoisseur?
Everybody's told me, they're like, why was that not your first bit?
Yeah.
It took me, I think, like good 5-6 years to start talking about that in my act, because it's the least relatable premise known to man.
No, absolutely.
Nobody can relate to it. So for a while, I was like...
So I was like, well, my dad's a skee-ball champ. I kind of know about it.
Yeah. What up now, bitch? Yeah. So, I don't know. Finally got to a good place where I like the foosball joke now. But yeah, it took a long time.
So then you're doing these open mics, but there's something in you that's like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, I want to just keep... Because I feel like for everybody, there is a moment where you do it a few times... And you kind of know in those first few times if you're going to stick with it or not. Kind of. At least for the next... year or whatever. I remember doing these open mics at Giggles in Seattle, and friends coming out, and some being great, and then like friends come, and then I get more friends coming back next time. Like first time was like 15, now there was like 25.
Yeah.
And I remember like killing the first time, and then tanking the second time and then I went over my time, so they cut the audio in front of 25 of my friends. So then I remember being like, okay, like, and then I'd go, fuck it, I'll do it without the mic, and I kept going,
because
I was like, I brought 25 people, and they cut me like way early. It was like, I was supposed to get 8 minutes, it cut me at 5 minutes. So I go, no, I'm, and I kid you, because at that point I had timed out my jokes
right,
so
do.
Methodically, so I was like, that was not 8 minutes, and I have 25 people here, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And so I did it like a theater.
Dude, like you've got balls, motherfucker.
I mean, I also, but
I think it's probably also like, ignorance where you're like you don't know what you are in terms of like I don't like you don't know that you're an open micer and what that means and what the labels are and what the etiquette is. No one has sat you down and said this is how you do it,
right?
So like I'm sure your instinct is, oh, you cut the mic, fuck you,
I
like
keep going.
Like
yeah.
This is my time, and like you said, you have your friends there. You probably did that thing where you're like, this is, you guys want me to get off, and of course your friends are like, no.
I think I did.
Oh my god, you're like Panda. Rabbit from 8 Mile. You're like, fuck it, I go acapella.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, I did grow up in a white suburban neighborhood, so any 8 Mile reference is pretty accurate.
Sure.
Did you have, were there people that you did the open mics with that were like, did anybody give you, like Brad mentioned, like having somebody to kind of give you some advice as you jumped in fully? Like,
yeah, I think there were a couple people in the improv troupe have been doing it for a little bit. And like you said, I brought friends, and that's always the fucking ego cushion that you need keep going.
Yes.
So many people have said that where it's like, you have to be a little delusional to keep
a lot delusional.
Going. Yeah, lot delusional. So... then I ended up starting a weekly show at, have either of you been to Mike's in Pullman? Mike's Bar?
Where no, but I've heard of it.
The basement with the hanging cages.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Hanging there's always cages. Just like 2 inches of dirty water on the ground. It's like Tijuana down there. I mean, it's a nightmare.
All right.
It sounds like a college bar.
It's raping and pillaging. It's
Oh,
God, that place. But anyway.
And pillaging is just code for more raping.
Right. Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Why is it?
Why is it rape and pillage? You're like, you know what? Rape's bad enough.
Yeah.
You don't have to add to it.
By the way, what is what does pillaging mean?
Is it like burning down a town?
I think so.
Like taking everything. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Totally be.
I think you're right. But I feel like I've heard that phrase used so much, and I'm always just like, yeah, and I always just go like, yep, rape and pillage. That sounds about right. And then I'm like, you don't know what. Are you looking it up, Brad?
I'm looking up rape and pillage.
Jesus, again?
Well, Brad, put your dick away.
Put your dick away.
And Wikipedia takes me to wartime sexual violence, which is, that's not a
Wikipedia?
Fun,
you mean, you mean your saved browser?
Yeah. What does rape and pillage mean?
You got yourself there on purpose.
Yahoo Answers. It's, pillage means to steal. So you steal the village.
Okay.
Or you steal things from the village. All right.
Now, Now, if you have such a fun, clever way to say steal, why isn't there a different word for rape? This is a real question. It's a terrible act. It's a terrible word. But if you're going to say pillage and not say steal, why?
So you're trying to lighten up.
Sure.
Lighten up the word rape.
Kerfuffle and pillage.
There it is.
Kerfuffle.
We found it.
We
ruined kerfuffle. I can never say kerfuffle again.
Nope, not with that attitude.
Okay, sure
can't. So then you're like, you graduate and you have this broadcast experience, which you were doing. You were in front of the camera a little bit, and
in front of the camera, video editing. But I mean, those jobs down here in LA, they really want you to be like full time, first person there, last person to leave. So I just started taking jobs that were like receptionist type of shit, just really easy.
In Spokane or Seattle?
I had a job in Seattle for like almost 4 years there. And then when I moved to LA, I took a job for the first 4 months.
Right.
And then thank God
I had
Jim on my podcast, and then we started working together. So he changed my life. I owe him so, so much.
I want to talk about that. I do want to hear about these jobs, though, because you told me on your podcast, Cooked, which everybody should subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of it's also very, it's great when people can hear that the human aspect to this profession, and that we all had other jobs. Not everybody, even the people who, you know, maybe come from money and don't have to day job it, but have put in a lot of work and
or just going to the shitty gigs and and all that comes with that.
But I have way. But that being said, I have way more respect for people who did have to have a job and go, this is what I have to do to support the dream. And
absolutely,
the receptionist thing. I mean, that was obviously, you weren't like, this is what I'm gonna be the best receptionist of all time and do this for 50 years.
Pam Beasley is my hero.
One day. I'm going to write a book on receptionists and be like, see, Mom, you're not the only one that can have a book.
Did you take pride in decorating your desk?
No. Oh, I was the worst. I mean, I did my job and I did what I was supposed to do, but I wanted to be gone.
Yeah, every
moment I was there. I was never the person that made my cubicle a home and put pictures of family. Mm. I made it just barren. I was like Dwight Schrute's desk. It was just all these office references.
But,
I don't know.
But
that's good because you don't want to be necessarily comfortable there.
Yeah, no.
You want to leave.
No, it was always just a way to make money. And then it was you'd get off, you'd go do your shows, you'd go to bed at 2 a.m., you'd wake up at 6 and do it all over again. And it's you guys both know. It's a horrible grind and you just are trying so hard to get out of it.
So that was in Seattle, the receptionist.
Yeah, I did that for about 4 years up in Seattle, and then I took another receptionist position when I got to LA, and that's with the crazy...
The candy lady.
Candy man. Dude, yeah.
What's the candy man?
Oh, you don't know?
Oh, I don't know the candy man? I just thought it was Sammy Davis Jr. No, there's another one?
It's like a trick, and he's like, do you know? The Muffin Man.
How dare you? I thought you worked for the Candy Man.
I mean, no, it's a competitor. right now, I'm at Left Twix. You're telling me about Right Twix. I'm like, what the fuck is Right Twix?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, so then you leave college and you're like, stand-up is happening. I'm making this a career.
Yeah.
And so you had that receptionist job and you're doing shows at night. And Seattle's a great place to do stand-up,
absolutely,
right, to get going?
Absolutely. I am so thankful I had that time in that city. That city has so many places to get on stage and get a lot of stage time and actually get paid for it. It's a really good place. So,
And then you're like, also, I would love to hear, like, at what point were you like, I'm ready to move to LA? Because I think a lot of people, I think a handful of times I had talked to you about it, and you did it quicker than I thought you would, because I heard from a handful of people that have come down since that are like, I'm coming down in January. And then things would happen, like job or money. And it's like you have to have all those factors going to move, and whether it's a job lined up or whatever. And then they would go, all right, now it's next October. And then we get pushed to March. And in my head, I was like, it's probably going to be 3-4 years. But also, no, I'm saying this about the people who have just recently moved. And also, like, no judgment. It's like you come when you feel ready. But sometimes I feel like there's no great moment ever, and you just got to go.
Yeah, there's no perfect moment where it's like, now.
Yeah.
At least when I go. It's just, you just have to
So what, go. Like, what made you finally just go?
I think there were two or three opportunities that were kind of happening at the same time. The guy who was kind of working for me, as far as a manager goes, at the time, there was this big show, and he wanted to put me on it. And then I think that, like, there was an audition, or maybe it was a JFL showcase. There were just, I think, two or three things that were happening within the same two-week period. And it was like, okay, if there's ever been kind of like a sign or a time that it's like, okay, there are people. I had a lot of contacts down here that were like, we can help you, but you have to live here. So then I was like, okay, well, then why am I still up here? I'm just wasting contacts. Right. You know what I mean?
And I think, didn't I even, when you sent me some stuff to send to my agent, didn't I even say, like, it would be way better if you were down here to...
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm glad you took that to heart, because you sent me, like, some really good reel, and I was like, yeah, that would be... They're going to be able to do... They're going to be way more excited if they know you're here. If they're when they hear, oh, she comes in every few months, it's like, okay,
well, now we can't send her on auditions.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and you were, by the way, so sweet, just, like, so you know. I had sent that little video. It was like a pilot audition. It was a self-tape for something with Fox. And I had sent that to, I think, my agent at the time, and maybe, like, my mom and a friend. And everybody was like, you know, yeah, good, okay, sounds good. And you were like, this is great. You like took your time and you wrote out this paragraph of all these things that you were like, this part's awesome. You're doing really good at this. I want to send this to my agent. And I was just like you made my day.
Well, maybe I didn't put in that, but I was hoping that one day I would get free foosball lessons. So there is always a reason.
It's on the table. I can do that whenever you want.
Ends justify the means.
Yeah, yeah. No, anyway. I mean, it was good. And also, like, you know, like, definite Seattle pride, and you're very sweet. And it's like you got any chance you have a moment to, like, it's so easy to just not do something like that, you know?
Right.
And I think about the people who have done it for me, and Brad can probably attest too, that just go out of their way and go, oh, yeah, like, I'll send this message or introduce you to this club owner. Like, so many of us can do that and just don't. And I know there's even times when I haven't, when I could have. But it's like, you know, you try to as much as possible, because it all comes back.
Yeah, and then we all, like, I can't think of any comic just made it entirely on their own. Like, had absolutely no one that ever vouched or gave them a phone number or it made an introduction. So, yeah, we all need that in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And when you had Norton on your podcast, was that just because he was in Seattle at the time?
No, that came about in such a weird, like, almost fantastical way that it almost doesn't feel like that happened.
Well, I'm a dwarf. I do believe in the fantastical. So I'm all in on this story.
He tweeted.
I said that so matter of fact.
You did.
Like, I believe in the fantastical.
By the way, that sounds like something they ingrained in your head when you were born in the dwarf village.
Sure.
They were like, repeat this back to me. I believe in the fantastical.
I believe in the fantastical. Oh, man. I love that voice.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. So he tweeted out, this is when his last special, the one that came out last year, was coming out. So he was coming to L.A. to do some radio and podcast to promote it. He tweeted out, hey, coming to L.A., what podcast should I do? I had listeners of Cooked tweet at me going like, oh, my God, try and get him on. And I wasn't going to do anything because immediately if you click on the tweet, it's just like every comic just suckling at the power teed, like, do my podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to look like that. Also, he doesn't know me. Like,
sure.
You basically created all the reasons and excuses to not even try.
Yeah.
So which is normal.
Stupid, right? Yep. And then another listener of Cooked sent me his email address, which is on his Twitter. It's like he's like, I've emailed him before. He's written back. Like, you should just send an email. So I was like, okay, fine.
By the way, again, somebody going out of the way to be like, yo, it is possible. Don't be so
It was very strange how, I mean, there's like all these And maybe it was like two or three people that were just actively like, you should do this. And I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
So I sent an email and I didn't think about it again. I mean, I totally forgot that I did that. And then I was at work. I was at this day job I fucking hated. And then maybe an hour or two went by and I went back to my email and there's an email from Jim Norton. I was like, hey, it's Jim. I'd love to do your podcast. Like, can you come meet me at the hotel I'm staying at?
Whoa.
And I showed it to Kane because I was like, this is spam, right? Like, if I go to this hotel, I'm going to get my head chopped off, right? Like, yeah. This is like, this can't be. And he's like, this is him? Like, go. This is amazing. And so I went and I had him on and he was great, of course. It was an awesome episode. And then we just stayed in touch and he always has women open for him on the road because he thinks that makes for like a more balanced show, which definitely I does. Totally agree with. And
that, and he's like definitely kind of in the raw form of comedy. Yeah. Like he does like, so it's, and I'm sure it's nice not to have like another dude maybe go on before him and essentially like also tell
step on that kind of
jokes.
Stuff. Yeah. So we just stayed in touch and then I got an email from his manager at one point that had some stand-up dates and it was like, are you available for these? He'd like to have you open for him. And I definitely, it was one of those like tears in my eyes sitting at my day job, I hated moments of like, oh my God, please, like, please let this work out. And so I was really happy. And then, it's been like almost a year now we've been working together. So
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty,
it's Norton
amazing.
for being the guy that who openly admits to getting transsexual prostitutes and people shitting on his chest and him enjoying it. Like, right. You could not find a nicer guy.
No.
And when you talk to him, you're like, wait, what? You're that dude?
Right. Yeah. No, he's genuinely one of the nicest people I know.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky to work with him and...
Sure,
because yeah, he's the best.
I know that when I know that when I was opening for Mencia, like I would have horror stories, or I would hear horror stories from other comics that were opening for other headliners. Like, oh, they make me carry their bags,
right.
You know, they make me pay for my own flights. I don't travel with them. I got to take a bus, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, oh, I've got it really good.
Right? Yeah. That's definitely been my experience too. Where I think there's such a wide range of road work. Like as far as you know exactly what you said, it can be so bad.
Sure.
He takes such good care of me. I truly can't imagine it being better.
And his fans are awesome. He's doing dope venues.
Oh,
I mean,
my
like
God.
I can't, like when I saw you did a lot of venues that I got to do on the Divine Tour and Brad's done with Mencia and now doing it on his own, and it's like when I saw you post him, I was like, oh man, like I got excited for you because I remember just walking into like the Lincoln Theater in DC being like,
such an awesome place.
And it's just like it's just, you know, clubs and theaters are all great, and they're different. I think you can't straight up compare, but, like, a theater with a guy who's a big draw and who, you know, has great fans, and you get to, like, do time on the front it's just, like, there's something, it's another level, you know?
Yeah, and you're not fighting the sports bar game that's going that's going on. They're like, you keep the comedy down. I'm trying to fucking see if they cover.
Yeah,
it's very addicting. It's actually painful sometimes to come back off the road now because I've gotten kind of addicted to you know, it's like it's city after city during this theater tour that we've been doing, and it's like, you know, 1500 2000 people, and they are, I think, some of the best comedy crowds left are his fans, because they will not get offended. Like in this time where crowds are becoming increasingly more PC,
right,
you don't have to worry about that. They're there for the show. Like, they pay attention, especially as an opener, because a lot of the times you're like, oh, you know, fucking opener, great.
Yeah.
Crowds won't pay attention. They are so good, I feel.
I think they trust Jim because of also how when he does the radio show with Opie, where it's like they're known for kind of being nice to comics and having comics on and also respecting the process. So I think his fans definitely see him and like, okay, well, his opener, his opener is going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, Amy opened for him for like 2 years, Amy Schumer. So
there you go.
Did you start to write different because of like how accepting they were of like filth? 'Cause, you know, I wouldn't say you're like a dirty comic, but you have some edgier material, right?
Yeah, that's a really good way to put
it. And so, but did you feel like, did your brain go like, oh, I can like push it a little bit because they're into that?
Yeah, definitely. There were some areas where maybe in jokes I would have held back more on a line or something. And oh, it's so nice to just be able to say like exactly what you want to say and know that not only is it going to go over, but they are going to particularly really enjoy it. Like, they yeah. are down for that. So yeah. that's nice.
Okay, I want to go back to two things I want to cover before we wrap up.
Okay.
Is the Candyman story, and then also the story you told me on the plane, if you're cool sharing it.
When Manicure we Tool story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you told it before?
I mean, I've mentioned it on my podcast a couple times, but I don't think I've told the whole long story
okay,
for
great.
A while.
Both of those, if you're down, I would love to get both of those.
For sure. Yeah,
because they're two of the greatest stories I've heard in a long time. Especially the manicure story. I mean, good God. All right, so so the Candyman.
So I had you on Cooked. Yep. I've had both you guys on. Waz and Shaz, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
Waz and Shaz.
That's from the
Parlor
Hotel.
We did that there, and then that was a reference to the Sam and Cat episode I did where they couldn't say piss and shit,
yeah,
so they said,
Waz and
take
Shaz.
A Waz and take a Shaz.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I think we joked that was like a morning show DJ crew.
Definitely.
Like, Waz and Shaz in the morning.
Yeah. I think you said that it would be the caption on a slip and slide box, like, Waz!
Oh, my God. What a great thing I said.
Wasn't that
I'm so funny.
Good nugget.
I'm also very tapped into slip and slide lingo.
Sure.
Which you can only say at this stage in your life without a mustache.
Yeah. You can't be like,
I can't be 55 with a stash and saying, I'm very tapped into slip and slide lingo.
Okay, well, all right. Adam, you can not come to our birthday parties anymore.
Too late, I'm already here.
Oh, shit.
No, that being said, I will not go to my friend's kids' birthday parties.
Happy we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Good call.
We're concerned.
I'll send a gift card.
Yeah.
I'll not show up. Unless you have a clown who's stoned or a slip and slide.
Yeah.
You're going to send the slip and slide.
I'll send the slip and slide, and then I'll show up and be like, you guys have a slip and slide?
What?
Yeah, man, you sent it.
I mean, but you have it? That's amazing.
Can we set it up? Or kids,
it's just
Adam.
You.
I have a
kids
hose.
Like, just Adam, 55 years old.
Just hairy chest.
I have a hose,
slide.
Too, guys. I don't know if you guys have a hose. I do. Is there a hook
brought
up?
My
I,
own hose?
There's just a trail of Jewish hair left on the slide. The kids are like, I don't want to use it.
I mean.
Hey, that's holy hair.
All right, so before Norton, you get this call from Norton to change your life. You are working this job out here in L.A. It was your I'm moving here, but I've got this set up, so I'm not totally in the dark.
Yeah, like I have to take something that's going to make some money. So I took a receptionist position at a litigation consulting firm, which is just where people go to die. It is so soul-sucking. And I had a boss who was like the male version of Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, shit.
Like, just weirdly controlling,
makes
weird little OCD.
Crazy demands, doesn't care how you get them done. Just like, you're going to do that.
Yes.
Not can you do that, you're going to do that.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So he had some kind of, I don't know, control issues with food where he didn't want anything like sweet in the office. So I had heard these horror stories that people told me when I got there that like one girl brought chocolate covered macadamia nuts back from her trip from Hawaii, which are like $60 for like a giant box of those things. I mean, they're really expensive.
And they're fucking delicious.
Yeah. She set them in the kitchen and apparently he walked by and literally just pushed them into the trash.
Like, all right.
This is the man we're talking about. That's just like, I don't care what anybody else wants.
Yeah.
If I feel that I don't want this in my presence, I will get rid of it.
Oh, boy.
So he came up to me at one point. I was the person who made orders for the office, for like the kitchen or whatever. I had been trained that this is what you order. Just click this on the online order sheet. And part of that were like Dove chocolates, like these like small Dove chocolates. It was the only thing that made people in that office happy. People fucking needed those chocolates. And he came up to me maybe 3 months into me working there and was like, what is this? He like held up a Dove chocolate. And I was like, they told me to order that. He's like, this is junk. This is garbage. We don't need this in our office. And he just threw it away. And he's like, no more. Don't order those anymore. I was like, okay. And I just remember thinking like, that's fucking too far, man. Like, you can yell at me all you want, but you take chocolate away from this office.
You could take our lives,
too goddamn
but
far.
They'll never take our Dove chocolates.
And so the timing of this was very serendipitous because that happened. And then I think I got the email from Jim's manager about going on the road shortly after that, maybe that same week. And so I put in my 2 weeks. And on my last week there, I had one more order to put in for food. And I knew that the boss was going to be out of town. on my last week, and so I used the company card, and I fucking stocked up so hard on every candy you can imagine. I got one of those giant tubs of Red Vines,
yeah,
Dove chocolates, mini Snickers, mini Reese's. I mean, I have a picture in my phone still. I stocked an entire, it was like two dresser drawers worth of just candy.
Nice.
And everybody, that last day, all the coworkers came up to me with like tears in their eyes, and they're like, "You're really awesome." Like,
oh my God.
Like, we're going to miss you.
Somebody stood up to this manimal.
This manimal.
I was going to say it. I didn't know if I could say it.
This animal, crazy man, manimal. Yes.
Yeah. Which so
sounds like one of Bert Kreischer's nicknames.
Yeah.
Manimal.
Manimal.
So
and
he.
Then I just fucking put the deuces up when I got out of there.
Wait, he wasn't there though when you left?
No. But I knew that he would know.
Yeah.
Like the next week that I had used the company card to just fully stock.
Yeah, you didn't need to stick
treats.
Around to see his face.
No. I hold it in my heart.
Yeah.
Did you get any stories or like updates from your coworkers?
He just came in and saw the chocolate. He's pissed.
He flipped out.
I can't remember. Maybe they all just like put them in pockets and took them to their own individual desks. I don't remember what they did, but I made people happy, and it made me feel good. It was kind of like Mrs. Claus for a moment.
Hell yeah.
Hey, you know what? As a guy who's frequently confused for working with Santa, I appreciate that.
Can you give me that? Okay,
yeah, cool. Absolutely.
That's also like everyone fantasizes about that fuck you moment to a boss.
Yes, absolutely.
And so weird that, because like most of the fuck you moments that we fantasize about are like, I shit on his desk. You know, or like something
it's
like
so
that.
So extreme.
Yeah, but then you're just, how crazy is that all you had to do was literally just buy candy, something that everyone loves. And I love the condescending, what is this? It's a fucking chocolate, asshole.
You
like,
know.
What did you expect? And be like, what is that crazy contraption you're holding in your hands? Like, it's
I really
a fucking
like that
chocolate.
Character, by the way. That's a great voice.
Edwin? Yeah, that's one of the three impressions that I do. But no one knows it's Edwin. That's an actual actor. Back in the day, he was in the Mary Poppins movie.
I really
oh, my goodness, Mary Poppins.
That was
You're the best, don't you know?
Yeah, the guy who was having the laugh attack.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, that's coming back to me now.
Yeah, so yeah, I fucking love that story and hope that guy got what's coming to him, and I hope he has that moment, kind of like in Back to the Future when Biff spins out in the car and like hits the truck of manure. I want him to do that to a Hershey truck, just like and have it all fall on him, just like chocolate. I hate chocolate.
That's the most delicious threat I've ever heard.
Right?
I know he's like the anti Willy Wonka. He's like Satan.
You say,
is there such a guy? I guess there is.
You say that, and I feel like I need to rally my people because anyone who's anti Willy Wonka. I need to like get four of my friends, full Oompa Loompa makeup, and just break into his house and just Oompa Loompa.
Four of your friends,
his bed.
Yeah.
All right, well,
we've got candy and we're coming for you.
No. Oh, I love it. What an asshole! I fucking hate that guy.
He'll is he married?
Yeah. She's awful too. They're just terrible people.
I think they have
to be. I
hope
they're listening.
Yeah, I think they have to be. I think they have to both be awful. Like, because it's someone who's that fucking nuts.
They're just like multimillionaire. Yeah, they're so rich.
Do they have kids?
Yes, two daughters. I feel so badly for them.
Are they? They're probably great kids.
Well, because they were raised by the nanny.
It could turn out to be real cunts. I don't know. I got some bad parents.
Real chocolatey cunts.
Yeah. Any child who's deprived of chocolate is going to be a cunt.
Yeah.
So I think that's a scientific fact.
Hey,
it's pretty safe.
Put quotes around that sentence and put it on a t-shirt.
Keep the merch going.
Great segue into the story you told me on the flight to Spokane, where this was really like the first time we got into like kick it outside of like a comedy club, and it was great. And we're just chatting about life and love.
You got the flight attendant to give us extra booze.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, work that charm,
dude,
man.
I like just,
do
I mean,
it.
You know what? I will take pride in the fact that sometimes I took my sister to SeaWorld once, right? This is pre-Blackfish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Blackish or Blackfish?
Blackish is a heartfelt comedy on ABC. Blackfish is a revealing documentary about the corrupt practices of SeaWorld.
Fair enough.
Moving on.
Fair enough.
So we're clear.
So
I want to get cast on that show. I want Lawrence Fishburne to be my father. What are you talking about?
So they tell us the Shamu show is closed. And my sister would come for this reason, right? And we drove down there. And I, like, just, whatever, charmed the pants off the gal and guy to let us in. And then they said no, and then we snuck by. But anyway, so I feel like there's a, you know, Putin has installed this, you don't ask, you don't get. Mm-hmm. And the woman was, I don't know what I did to really, like, charm her, but I think I just maybe, like, was
she was
real,
like, a beautiful big black woman, and you just, I don't know, you got right in there. Like, yeah. You were right in
and can
there.
Can I be honest? That's, I got a soft spot for those ladies. Because they're sweet, yeah. They're fun, yeah. They're joyful.
Give the best hugs.
The best hugs.
Best hugs.
They don't care. They're like, you know, for most dudes, you're like, oh, I don't want to, like, press too hard against the boobs because, like, she'll think it's creepy. This woman was like, get every boob, get every corner, every boob. Like, she's got more than two.
And get the two on my back.
Get those back boobs. Get those front boobs. Get those side back booby boobs. By the way, that was the follow-up to the electric slide.
Yeah.
That never hit.
Side back booby boobs. Front side booby boobs. Back side booby boobs. Everybody with a booby boob.
Oh my God! Is that the chorus?
Everybody, clap your hands.
Oh my Boobs. God! That's the chorus of your math rap. Please record it.
Side back, side boob, back boob, booby boob,
all the boobs.
By the way, booby boob. I love that there was a location for back boob and side boob. But booby boob is that just
booby boob? Just sounds like a flavor that was invented from the Count Chocula people. We have Count Chocula. We have Booberry. Do we have Booby Boob? Now we do.
Wow, you're just little,
right,
just little,
do.
Just little titty balls, like
yeah.
cereal. There should be, you know, with all the crazy cereals out there, it's like you know, Hugh Hefner really missed the boat on that,
right?
Like you cornered the sex market in a way for a decade.
Yeah,
come out with a cereal, Playboy cereal.
Yeah, Playboy all cereal. Right. And can you imagine if you had like the all right, the bachelorette party is just like the cocks that are on the veil,
right.
and the spoons,
right.
And like the straw cocks. Like I really think there's not enough cock candy out there to where like they could have like a cock cereal, and then that's how they start the day. They start the day with the cocks. The cocks are floating in milk. You know,
oh, God,
kind of works. Why have I thought so much about this?
This commercial will never see the light of day.
Yeah, not with that attitude.
Oh my God!
All right, like I think it will.
Oh my God!
So
it will.
All right, so I charm this
Pornhub.com sponsors cock cereal.
Leave all it right. alone. Drop it. It's not happening. You and your cock milk. It's so.
Oh
God! Those
why?
Two words should never be
never.
Together.
Wow, that takes a lot to make you go. Ugh, but that was.
I feel like I've heard on your podcast there's certain words. Is it moist that you hate?
I mean, everybody hates moist. That's a go-to.
I feel like you've talked about, though, certain words you don't, like, that make that face you just did.
Yeah, moist. Jim introduced me to snot porn, so...
Oh, God.
That was a little...
I don't even want...
I never want
don't,
those words
don't
in
ever.
I started to, like, come up
that.
With a question, and then I just quickly
don't ever look
punched
up.
Myself yeah. in the
We
yeah.
watched it
brain.
On Opie and Jimmy.
Oh, God.
And Pete Davidson was actually throwing it. Like, he was, like...
Gagging.
Yeah. It was bad. Don't ever watch it.
All right. All right, so I'm charming this black woman.
Yeah,
we get free booze.
Boobs.
We're getting all the boobs. We're getting booze. We're going to Spokane. We're pumped. It's like a night flight. Night flight drinks on a short flight are great.
Yeah,
it was the best. And so we start talking, and I think we were sharing some like weird sex stories from back in the day or something. We somehow got.
Yeah,
I think
I don't
it was,
know.
I was telling you, I think about my eighth grade girlfriend and how like I was trying to. She, you know, gave me the silent treatment on a camping trip and then started flirting with my buddy. And then in an attempt to try to build the relationship back up, I was trying to pull what I thought was dirt off of her tit, yes. And it was a mole. And so I'm scratching and trying to pull a mole off her tit after she hasn't talked to me for 2 days. And she looks over and goes, "That's my mole. What are you doing?" That's the first thing she said to me in 2 days.
All right.
And I'm like, just commit. And I go, trying to get it off.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so then you go, "I've got a better story." And then you told this one you're about to share with Brad.
Oh boy. Okay. Buckle up.
All right.
So.
Set the scene. What year is this?
So this is, I want to say 2005, 2006.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like 15, 16. All my friends got their first boyfriends and started losing their virginity. And I was the only one who hadn't yet. And so.
And let's just be clear. For a girl, that's like a pressurized time, right?
For sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Too much pressure.
You just feel left out. I mean, everybody starts to talk about it. I hate it. I didn't know what they're talking about, or I couldn't relate. Also, when you're a girl, like your vagina is just like a hole that you can't see. Like you dudes can look down and always see your dick
for sure.
At all times. It's just there.
I mean, unless you have an eating problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most
true.
Part. For the most part.
Unless you need to make a lifestyle change. But
sure.
Anyway. So when you're that age and you've never really like had any sexual experience, you just want to kind of figure out, like, how big is this hole? Like, what does it feel like when you put something in there?
Yeah.
And in my head, I was too embarrassed to tell myself I was masturbating. So instead, I told myself I was doing, like, a size check. Like, to, like, check.
You were spelunking?
Yeah.
On a minor scale?
Yes. All right. So, like... like, the first time I were to see a dick, like, the first time I was going to, you know, have sex, I wanted to be able to look at it and be like, okay, I can handle that. But, like, be mentally
this all
prepared.
Makes sense, by the way. This is, like, sound logic.
It's so, like, type A control freak thing to do. Like, I want to be prepared with the dick size. It's just it's too much. But anyway, so I went home one day after school. I was the only person in my house at this time. Like, my mom and brother hadn't come home from school yet. And I found my mom's manicure tool. Mm-hmm. So I actually have a picture. I fucking... oh my god! I'll show you guys something at the end of the story.
Maybe we'll
It's been
Yes, okay.
So basically, like, you've seen this in infomercials, it's kind of almost shaped like a remote, like a small remote, but you can put different attachments to buff your nails or whatever on top of it. So it was shaped like a dick, and I was like, okay, this should be fine.
Close enough.
The only problem I could tell was that it was made of like a grippy rubber material.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
like holding in your hand, not shoving up your twat.
Yep.
So, but I was like, whatever, I'll be fine. Like, I'll try this. If a problem presents itself, I'll just stop. So I tried, and like nothing was happening. Because I wasn't aroused by anything. I was just terrified. So I was like dry as a dead man's mouth. Like, no lubrication.
Yeah.
So finally, I don't know. I stopped for a second, and like the sane part of my brain was like, just this can't happen. Like, just wait till you have sex. And then the crazy part of my brain was like, I'm not a fucking quitter.
You got that foosball mentality.
Yeah.
A little too competitive.
They said,
So I don't even remember how it happened, but I somehow managed to put the whole thing inside me. I think I blacked out. And put it inside me. I pulled it out. I immediately got in the shower to try and kind of like wash off the shame, guilt,
everything.
Not even really knowing what I did. And then as soon as I got out of the shower, I knew something was really wrong because I felt like a burning, itching sensation down there. And so I started to panic, but I was like, I'll just look at it in a mirror and then I'll decide from there what to do.
Yeah.
What I saw.
What did
still
you see?
Still holds my dreams to this day. My vagina had swollen shut.
Whoa. So like...
like no hole.
Like a boxer's eye that got hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just like...
That's the best way to describe it. A sideways boxer's eye. That's been hit. But yeah, like no hole.
That's the most... I can't imagine if I looked down and saw my dick hole shut.
Yeah.
Or like your dick had gone inside you or something.
That's way scary. I mean, yes, both of those are terrifying. But my dick going inside me, I would freak out a little bit more than just the hole being shut.
Yeah, and this is like, you don't know, like you really don't. You're like, am I ever going to pee again? Like, what's going to happen?
So at that point, I knew that I was going to have to go to see a doctor.
Yeah,
right.
And I was going to have to tell him what I did.
Ugh.
But before that, I was going to have to tell my mom.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't old enough to drive. I needed somebody to take me to the emergency room.
And there's no Uber.
Ain't no Uber in Genie, Washington. And also in 2005. Yeah. So I went into my mom's room, and she was like doing a crossword or something, momsy. And I had nothing prepared for how to tell her this. And I was like pale. She's like, what's going on with you? What's wrong? And I was like, I don't know how to tell you this because you're never going to see me the same way again. And she did the whole, you know, like, honey, like, nothing you tell me can make me stop loving you.
Except if you shoved one of your manicure tools up your pussy. But other than that, I love you.
So, I'm open ears. What do you got? Anyway, so I was like, I wanted to know how big I was down there. So I took your manicure tool and I put it up there and now it's gone. Like, my vagina's gone. She was like,
my vagina's gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt. It was like, it's gone. Like, it disappeared. Like, the hole's gone.
Judy Blume book.
Yeah.
Super fudge.
Where'd my vagina go?
My vagina's gone.
Yeah. That's a terrifying sentence to hear as a mother.
Yeah.
To which she says...
So she was like, Wow. Well, we were going to have corn dogs for dinner.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, safety hazard now.
She's like, let me get my foosball on.
I mean, she was basically like, okay, well, the clinic's closed for the night, so just you have to try and kind of sleep this off, and then we'll deal with it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I love my mom, but that probably should have been dealt with in a more serious way.
Yeah.
So anyway, I slept on this, which is a fucking nightmare. Felt like there was somebody down there tickling me with a lit sparkler. Like, not good.
Jesus.
I woke up, pain and burning had intensified fivefold. So I grabbed my mom and was like, we got to go now. So we drove down to the little, like, emergency walk-in clinic. By the way, I'm from Spokane, but I grew up a little bit outside of it for some of my childhood. And it was this tiny town called Cheney, Washington. And I went to this clinic that you'd been going to since you were tiny. So everybody knows everybody. The nurse that took me back that day was my best friend's mom.
Oof.
So already, like, then it just, the hysteria amplified. So yeah. I'm like, oh my God, like the people that I have to tell this story to. Oh. So I had to tell her what I did. She has no idea what that means. Then she brings in my like 60-year-old male Christian doctor that's been seeing me since I was like 5 and not shoving foreign objects inside of me. He doesn't understand. He's like, hi, Kelsey. So, Sandy told me something about a manicure tool. We don't really know what that is.
Oh, God. Come on, man. Do.
Yeah. He's like, do I need to have like a look-see at your undercarriage? I'm just like, oh,
Jesus, don't say that.
Undercarriage? It's not a 89 Mercedes. Like, there's no undercarriage.
Yeah. So, like you said, he put on his miner's headlight to go spelunking for treasure.
Oh, my God.
He got down there, like, assessed everything. It was so horrific. I was like, this is not how I saw somebody going down on me for the first time.
With a flashlight.
80-watt flashlight in my junk. That's a disaster zone at the moment. And so he came back up and was like, okay, so from what I can tell, you're experiencing a lot of burning and swelling.
It's still closed at this point.
Still closed. He was like, I'm going to guess that it's because you have a latex allergy because it was made of like a rubber material. Okay. So he basically like, I had to like take baths for like a couple days. He like prescribed me a cream. It's this whole horrible, horrible nightmare of all these people in my life that I had to tell what I did.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to like 20 years later, not 20 years later, like 10 years later, this was a year ago. I went to a gynecologist for my annual checkup. The guy didn't read my file correctly.
Latex gloves.
He used latex gloves for like an actual like pelvic like inside of me examination. And I sat up and I realized as he was taking the gloves off and I was like, oh God. I was like, are those latex gloves? And he's like, oh shoot, do you have an allergy? And I was like, yeah, I do. And he's like, what happens when you come into contact with it? And then it just was like that So Raven moment, like flashback to all of the horror. And he was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I can try and prescribe you some sort of cream to maybe prevent a reaction, but I really don't know what to tell you. Maybe take some Benadryl. I went into a panic, and I, like, after he left the room, I put my clothes on. I went into the doctor's office bathroom, and I masturbated because I thought if I could flush out the allergens, then I wouldn't have a reaction.
Wow.
Well, because your doctor just told you, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, I can give you some cream, but like, yeah, I mean, if you have a reaction, you're probably going to have it. So,
where did you get that idea?
I don't know.
You're panicking.
I thought like, okay, well.
I guess I've panic masturbated before. I guess I've been on some planes where they've
panic,
been turbulent.
Panic masturbated. Yeah. Did play Coachella last year. Why did I stutter? Fuck.
Yeah, that's all right.
So much better.
Take two.
Panic masturbated played Coachella last year. Thank you. Okay, sorry.
I would love to know how many jokes have been butchered by a little bit of a stutter.
So many of mine. So many.
If you can make yourself come in a doctor's office bathroom where there are literally diagrams of like what penises look like from the inside, are cups of strangers' urine samples on the wall next to you, fluorescent lighting, and then people just occasionally knocking on the door because they need to leave their urine sample. And I'm like, I'm almost there. I'm like, just like begging for more time. And somehow,
you can come anywhere, is what you're trying to say.
I made myself come.
There's another t-shirt, by the way. If you can come in a doctor's office with diagrams of the inside of a penis, cups of urine, and people knocking on the door trying to get in and use the bathroom, you can come anywhere. It's going to be a front and back t-shirt.
Very, very small font.
Long sleeve. It's a jumpsuit. It goes down the legs.
Goes down the booby boob. So you've, okay, so you come and then.
I miraculously, I did not have a reaction because I think I flushed out the allergens in time.
Wow.
So, a life-saving orgasm.
Thank you, right? It was a rescue my pussy situation.
So now when like,
that is a shirt.
Rescue your pussy. Be your own pussy's hero. Yeah.
And this was how long ago?
This was a year ago.
So now, like, so if Kane's ever like, oh, so did you come? You're like, no. He's like, really? But you can come.
I set up this whole doctor's office set.
That's what I need now. Yeah. Now I'm all, like, fucked up in the head. I need more urine samples.
What do you, I mean, and if this, stop me if this is too personal, but if you have all those distractions, like, I would think, like, how do you just shift your mind to go,
this is happening.
Still now. Find something sexy in the moment. Or is it like a life or death where you're just like.
Maybe I pictured I was like sitting on Channing Tatum's face or something.
Whoa, yeah.
That takes a whole new new meaning to the phrase, come with me if you want to live.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Williams. And he's back.
Yeah. No stutter on that one.
Right.
I will send you the picture because I went home.
We'll tweet it.
I went home like a week ago.
A picture of what?
The manicure tool.
Okay.
Because if it's a swollen vagina, I don't know. If we're gonna post that.
I'll Google Tyson.
Yeah. Remember Ivan Drago, Rocky IV?
My God. I went home a week ago. I thought I'd thrown this thing away. I thought I threw it away right after it happened. But I went home and on the bathroom floor of my. Like home bathroom was this box that was like relax or spa, and I was like, no,
like an 80s horror movie. Yeah. Like it's coming from inside the house.
Yeah, it just keeps following me, the box, like wherever I go.
Oh my God.
And I opened it and it was there, and I took a picture and I immediately sent it to like Kane and my manager, and I was like, no, I was like, it still lives, I still have it. So anyway, I took a picture.
Holy sweet God.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Oh.
That's, I mean,
of all the swollen pussy stories I've heard.
There have been so many on the podcast.
That
is
got to be, I mean.
Really quick, I love that you're.
Lisa Kudrow had a great swollen pussy story.
It was good, top 5.
It was good, top 5 for sure, but I believe you just took the number 1 slot.
Thank you so much.
Sorry to use the word slot, but whatever. Sorry.
How dare you? Too soon.
Okay.
That's too far.
I love how your mother, by the way, in typical mother fashion, like was like, you know, I don't even know if WebMD would have the same diagnosis of like, just sleep off the disappearing vagina. Like, she said, sleep it off, right? And we'll reevaluate in the morning.
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, it was such an awkward moment for both of us. I don't think she wanted to ask him any more further questions. I certainly didn't want to answer anymore.
I can't imagine if, I'm trying to picture if I have a daughter and
they're going to stick something in themselves at some point. We all have.
That's the parent book that needs to be written.
Yeah.
They're going to stick something inside
just
themselves.
Kids
have, at some point. Kids have holes and stuff's going up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, there's a great, by the way, that's an amazing, you should start writing a movie in some fashion. I mean, about your life would be great. I mean, but that is the ultimate, like remember in American Pie?
Yeah.
Like, well, all those movies had classic opening scenes.
Yeah,
sure.
The last one with him and the kid and jerking off, or she has the shower head and he's gets caught jerking off, and the kid comes in, and then the whole pie thing. But like, that's an amazing opening scene.
Your bridesmaid's massive group diarrhea scene.
You're so right.
Yeah,
I don't know. We've had a couple stories on this podcast that we're going to get animated, and maybe that's one of them.
Oh, my God. Really exciting.
Or maybe not. Or maybe you want that just
as long.
Maybe you don't want that out
there. I just pictured, like,
an animated close-up vagina. Yeah. Me too. Maybe that's too much.
As long as the swollen vagina, just give it Sylvester Stallone's voice from Rocky, like, hey, yo, I can't even open.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In an animated cartoon, it's swelling up, and then you're saying it looks like a boxer's eye, and then it looks like a boxer's eye in the cartoon.
I'm trying to open.
Maybe that's too much. No,
but you could just do an animation of that part where I'm like sitting spread eagle on my bathroom floor with a mirror in front of me, and it's like the mirror is blocking it, but you see my eyes go really wide, like, oh shit. It's gone.
You gotta give me some Benadryl or something.
Oh boy.
Well, working.
I'm glad you didn't die.
Thank you.
I don't know if that was a...
They couldn't fit that, and they wouldn't have written that in the obituary.
No bits, no.
Yeah. So now you have to be very cautious of latex.
Yeah, no latex condoms for me. That never was a thing. I was always like polyurethane, which are just so obvious. Like a Ziploc bag on a dick. It's just so terrible. Like there's
Let's be honest. Condoms are the worst.
Right.
But... But
also kids, very don't use them.
No, what? Not what I said. Okay. Not what I said at all. We have too many people in this world. Use them.
Yeah.
But you know, that's I didn't even know that when you told me that, I didn't even know that you could have allergies to I mean, I guess when I just think of allergies, I think of like, you know, the peanut stuff and like
right.
yeah. other obscure but like, man, crazy. And to not know that. Like as a kid, you're just not familiarizing yourself. You're not like, you know, when you get tested, they don't test you for pollen. And fucking condoms.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, well. She's going to grow up to be a real whore.
Hopefully she's not fucking bees.
Yeah. Very small condoms.
Yeah.
Very small.
Well, I mean, yeah. where yeah. did you grow up? The bees the bees in Western Washington.
Oh, man. Huge really? Box. Yeah. So they're more black than yellow.
Yeah.
They actually can't fly. They're too
big. Did you hear that?
No, I missed it.
I said, so they have large dicks, so they're more black than yellow.
Oh shit. Wow.
Bee dick jokes.
God damn it. That was so good. I'm so sorry.
That works on so many levels yeah. because then with the yellow, that's Asians, they have small dicks. Come on.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Jesus. How did we even know? There'd be
all
so many layers.
All aboard the hack train. No, that's a great joke.
No, it's very hack. We've all seen a bunch of bee black.
We haven't.
This is a new take.
I want you to say this on stage.
Yeah.
Really quickly, though, before we wrap up, I mean, just mentioning bees makes me think of Beyonce. And you just went to her show, and I got to know.
So many tweets.
So many tweets. You tweet all about that a lot.
Yeah.
And you posted about it, yeah. and you loved it. And I saw a lot of posts about it. And yeah. I got to be honest, I saw Beyonce at a Clipper game a month ago, and I was drunk, and she was walking away. And in my head, I go, say something. And I went, Beyonce! And she turned around and looked at me. And I don't know what I wanted out of that moment. Like, I guess
you made
I want
eye contact with her.
Yeah, and that's I guess I wanted at on the surface. I go, I wanted at least that because then I could tell people I made eye contact with Beyonce and she looked at me. You don't have that story,
I
right?
Don't.
That's a story.
That's a story.
But deep down, I think subconsciously, I want her to turn around and go, "There you are, a comedian in his early 30s who hasn't made it yet, wearing the sports jersey of a team that doesn't exist anymore. Finally."
God.
Who's Detlef Schrempf? And so ooh. I saw her, and I was is mystified a word?
Absolutely.
Okay, I was
certain celebrities just have an
holy
aura
shit
about
an aura. So I can't yeah. imagine. And in that moment, and you know, seeing her on the Super Bowl, I mean, Brad and I think texted and I texted about it after she performed. Was like, did you just see that? That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine what her show is like.
She's a fucking. I love her so much.
She's not real.
She's my Jesus. I mean, I'm a practicer of beeism. That's my religion.
Yeah, what did that be? Because you showed you have like a bee ring.
Yeah.
What?
I have a ring that has like a jeweled bee on it, and I for sure wore that to that fucking concert.
All right. Well,
yeah.
She was
don't
amazing.
Don't put that up inside you, because I feel like that's another level of fandom. Yeah.
That doctor was like, oh, God, I feel scared to send her out into the world after this. What else? Please, no balloon animals. So
she's incredible.
She's amazing. I saw her with Jay-Z during their On the Run tour.
Ooh.
At Safeco. Ooh. Which was unbelievable to have mm-hmm. both of them on a show. This was really cool because since it was in LA, they brought in so many special guests before yeah. she came on stage. So we went from, it was like DJ Khaled or whatever. Is that how you say his name?
Khalid?
Okay. Yeah. So he comes
another
out.
One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, he's doing songs and like playing songs. And then he starts into Big Sean's I Don't Fuck With You. And then he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Big Sean. So Big Sean comes out and whoa. Raps us I Don't Fuck With You. So everybody's like freaking out. Then Fat Joe.
What?
Out of nowhere. I did the lean back with Fat Joe. I was like, middle school Kelsey is
yep.
shazzing her pants out. Right now. I was so excited. Fat Joe came out.
Played all the way up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And lean back. Neo came out.
Jeez.
Love Neo.
One other person, and then Snoop Dogg.
To do what?
He did.
Gin and juice?
No.
Michael Bolton's Butterfly Kisses?
Yep, nailed it. How did you know?
I read his blogs.
Drop It Like It's Hot.
Wow.
And da 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 da, whatever that one
oh,
is.
Oh, D-O-double-G.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg. Yeah. Drop it Like It's Hot. And like Hot in Here are two of the most underrated songs of all time.
Right.
Like, talk about fun party anthems. I don't care where you are. Dude, can I be honest? I think about sometimes when I'm on turbulent flights, if it goes down, I have to be listening to some fun song that's going to take away the idea of death.
Yeah.
Drop It Like It's Hot. Well, all right. Good. Well, maybe a little too soon, but because the plane's on fire and it's dropping to the ground.
Bad juju.
Bad juju. But, but those songs are so, like...
So happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just fun, and I'm assuming everyone was getting into it.
Oh, my God. People went crazy.
Because sometimes you need to know what to do when the pimps try to get at you.
I didn't know until then.
I didn't know what to do when the pimps tried to get at me.
I had so many pimps trying to get at me, and I was like, what do I do right now?
And then Snoop's like, you drop it like it's hard. You're like, that's what I do.
Right. And then they molested me, so I wasn't going to
whatever.
This has been incredible.
Thank you so... You know this is my favorite podcast.
Well, you're really sweet to say that.
No, I mean it. I know I've said that forever. I love this podcast.
Thank you for listening.
I feel very, very happy to be on.
Well, I'm very happy that you're in LA, and you've done very well for yourself, and it's just the beginning, and you're working very hard.
Thank you.
People listen to Cooked on iTunes.
Yes.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter. And all your tour dates are at kelseycook.com?
Yep, kelseycook.com. I think there's a couple more months going with Jim on this tour, but then I've got other road work too.
Yeah, I think that's, I guess, find her at a foosball table near you.
Yeah.
And go pick up her mom's book.
Yeah, the Amazon. World Table Soccer Almanac.
And look out for her new shirt. If you deprive your kids of chocolate, you're a cunt.
Great PSA.
Thanks, Kelsey. Right.
Thank you, guys.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast, give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.